Welcome back, everyone. We're diving into something a little different this time.
Ooh, I love different.
Me too. Okay, so speech acts, right? Sounds kind of dry, but stick with me.
Definitely.
Because when we get into this lecture by Dr. George Payton, he's this Bible translation whiz, it gets really fascinating. He has this knack for making like the technical stuff actually relatable.
He does.
So it's not just for, academics,
Right.
it's for anyone who wants to understand the Bible better.
And honestly, just how we communicate in general.
Yes. Okay, so speech acts. Peyton kicks off with this example. Picture this. Husband says to his wife, "Honey, we're out of milk."
Simple, right?
So simple, but
But there's layers.
there's so much more going
It's
on.
not just a statement of fact, is it?
No, it's like a coded message.
Totally. He's hoping she'll get the hint. Pick up some milk on her next trip.
Exactly. So he's making a request.
Exactly. That's a speech act.
Boom.
What's said isn't always literally what's meant.
Okay, I love the story Peyton tells about his wife. They're at a museum all day.
Uh-oh.
Long day, right? They get home. She says, "I'm ready for tea."
Sounds innocent enough.
Right. But what she meant was, "Honey, make me some tea."
Exactly. And poor Peyton, he totally missed it.
Oh, that's classic.
Have you ever had one of those moments, like someone says
All the
something and you're
time.
like, wait, there was a whole subtext I missed?
Totally. It's like those miscommunication memes.
It's hilarious, but it also makes you think, right?
Big time.
Yeah.
It shows how much we rely on shared knowledge.
Yes. Like Peyton's wife assumed he knew.
Of course, it was their little routine.
Their unspoken language.
But when it comes to the Bible, whoa boy, are we ever missing that shared knowledge.
Right. It's like trying to understand a text message from, like, ancient Rome.
It really is. We're separated by so much time, culture.
And that's where speech acts come in clutch.
They help us bridge that gap.
Okay, give us a biblical example, something juicy.
Okay, the wedding at Cana, you know that one? Oh, yeah, Jesus's first miracle.
Mary, his mom, she goes up to him and says, they have no wine.
Seems pretty straightforward.
Oh, but there's layers, my friend.
Okay, unpack it for us.
In that context, knowing what we know about Mary, about Jewish weddings,
Yeah.
she wasn't just stating a fact,
There's a nudge.
a big nudge. She was politely asking Jesus to intervene.
To do his miracle thing.
Exactly. But she doesn't come out and say it.
Which makes his reply even more interesting.
Right, tell me about it. He says, my time has not yet come.
Implying he gets what she's hinting at.
Exactly. It makes you wonder, how did Mary even know he could do that?
There's so much unspoken history there,
A
right?
lifetime of it. And that's what we, as readers, often lack.
So how do we even begin to bridge that gap? Peyton talks about high context versus low context cultures.
Yes, that's key.
Break it down for us, Professor.
All right, so low context, think like the US, Canada.
We're pretty direct.
Gotta get a coffee. Straight to the point.
High context. Lots of meaning packed into subtle cues, shared understanding.
Think Japan, Middle East, the ancient world where the Bible comes from.
So we modern readers, we're coming in with our low context
And
brains,
trying to crack this high context code.
which is why we need all the help we can get.
And understanding speech acts is a huge part of that.
Makes sense. Peyton tells this funny story about being in Tanzania. Someone says to him, "We'll talk."
Uh-oh. I know where this is going.
He thinks, "Great, looking forward to it."
But in that culture.
It meant, "No way, Jose."
A polite brush off.
And he was totally oblivious. It just shows how easy it is to misinterpret.
Especially across cultures.
So applying this to the Bible, it's not just swapping out words, right?
Oh, translation is so much more than that.
It's like trying to translate a joke.
You got it. You have to
Yeah.
capture the humor, the cultural context.
Or else it falls flat.
Translators have to be like cultural chameleons.
Okay, so how do they even do that? Different languages have such different ways of doing things.
Right. Peyton gives these examples like German. They have special emphasis words.
While Hungarian, it's all about word order.
And English, we use intonation, which we try to show in writing.
With italics and bolding and all that.
Exactly. It's fascinating and it shows the challenge
Of getting the meaning across accurately.
without losing the impact, the emotional weight.
Okay, so we've talked about cultural differences, but Peyton points out even people from the same culture
Uh-oh.
can misunderstand each other. He uses the example of Peter, one of Jesus's closest buddies.
Yeah, what about him?
Even he sometimes had trouble understanding Paul's letters.
Oh, wow, that's saying something.
So, does that mean accurate interpretation is impossible?
Not at all. It just means we got to be humble, curious, you know?
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And willing to learn.
So, like, how can this help me when I'm reading the Bible? You know what I mean? It can't just be theoretical.
Right. Totally. Okay, imagine you're reading a passage and Jesus says something that sounds, I don't know, harsh, confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of just being like, huh, weird, stop and think, what's the speech act here?
Like, what's he doing with those words?
Exactly. Is he teaching, rebuking, comforting? What's the goal?
Okay, so context is key.
Context is king. Who's he talking to? What's the bigger point? All that helps you understand what he really meant.
Oh, this reminds me of that example Peyton uses. Jesus tells his disciples in Gethsemane, go ahead and sleep.
Ooh, yeah, that one's tricky.
On the surface, it's like, okay, he's being nice, letting them rest.
Right, but dig a little deeper.
What's the deeper meaning?
Peyton points out the Greek there, it's a command, not a suggestion.
Oh, interesting.
And given the context, you know, Jesus is stressed, praying hard, the betrayal's coming.
Your disciples keep dozing off.
Exactly. So it's more like he's expressing disappointment, frustration.
Not like sweet dreams, guys.
Not quite. It's amazing what you miss when you don't think about speech acts.
Right. It's like a whole new layer of meaning unlocks.
It really is. And that's what's so cool about this stuff. It takes you beyond surface reading.
To the author's real intention.
That's the goal.
Okay, but different languages do things so differently, right? Like you said, German, emphasis words, Hungarian, word order.
Right, right.
How do translators handle that? It seems impossible.
It is a huge challenge. They have to be super skilled.
Like linguistic ninjas.
Basically. They need to understand not just the words, but the nuances, the impact.
It's almost like they're translating the culture itself.
You nailed it.
Yeah.
It's not word for word. It's finding what conveys the same effect.
So same meaning, different tools.
Exactly. It's a delicate dance.
Okay. But this whole thing, it's hard. Even Peter, Jesus's best friend.
Hey, what about him?
Peyton says he struggled to understand Paul's letters sometimes.
Right. And if Peter had trouble, imagine us.
So what's the takeaway? Is the Bible just too hard for regular people to understand?
I wouldn't say that. It's challenging, yes, but that's part of what makes it so rewarding.
Okay, but how do we even approach it? Like, where do we start?
Good study resources are key. Commentaries, pastors, scholars, there's so much help out there.
So we're not alone in the struggle.
Not at all. And don't forget the Holy Spirit. Prayer is powerful.
Amen to that. Peyton talks a lot about historical context.
Yeah, that's huge.
How do we, like, 21st century people even begin to grasp that?
It's like detective work. You got to dig into the background, the culture, the world they lived in.
There are resources for that, right?
Tons. Books, articles, websites, you name it.
It sounds like a lot of work.
It is, but it's so worth it.
Yeah.
When that light bulb goes off and you're like, aha, now I get it.
It's the best feeling. Okay, what about the author's intent? Peyton emphasizes that, but how can we know that across centuries?
Pay attention to the genre, the history. Look for clues within the text itself.
Like keywords, themes, stuff like that.
Exactly. The more you know about the author, the audience, the easier it is to grasp what they meant.
Okay, this is all super helpful, but I gotta admit, it feels kind of overwhelming.
I hear ya. It's a lot to take in.
Like, do I need a PhD to understand the Bible?
No way. Just a humble heart, a willingness to learn, ask questions, don't be afraid to say, I don't get it.
That's encouraging. So the big question Peyton asks is, how does knowing all this change how we read the Bible?
That's what it's all about. It should change everything. How we approach it, how we interpret it.
So it's not just about the words. It's about the meaning behind the words.
Yes. And the more we understand that, the more the Bible comes alive.
Okay. As we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'm feeling a lot more, I don't know, empowered. Like I have tools now.
That's great to hear. It's a journey and the learning never stops.
Peyton shared some hilarious stories about misinterpreting speech acts.
Oh, he's got some good ones.
It makes me wonder what other funny or enlightening examples are out there.
I bet our listeners have some great stories. We all mess up communication sometimes.
Oh, for sure. It's part of being human.
And recognizing that is a step in the right direction.
Totally. So this isn't just about the Bible. It's about understanding each other better.
That's the beauty of it. It applies to everything.
Well said. Okay. Before we wrap up completely, one final thought-provoking question for everyone to ponder. Think about a time you totally misread what someone was saying. Like, it could be funny, could be awkward, whatever.
I've had so many of those.
Me too. Yeah. So what happened? Was it like a cultural thing, generational, or just like you missed the speech act completely?
It's wild how often we get each other wrong, even when we're like, sure, we're on the same wavelength.
Right. And if it happens in everyday life, imagine with the Bible, it's like a whole other level.
Totally. Thousands of years, different languages, cultures. It's a recipe for miscommunication.
So wait, this deep dive, it's not just about the Bible, it's about all our communication, right?
100%. The more we get speech hacks, the better we'll be at expressing ourselves, understanding others.
Less arguments, more clarity, everyone wins.
Exactly. It's like a superpower, honestly.
I'm into it. So next time I'm talking to someone, I got to remember, think about the speech hack, the context, all that.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to ask clarifying questions like, hey, what did you mean by that?
It's better than assuming and getting it all wrong.
Way better. Humility is key in communication.
Okay, so as we wrap up this deep dive, I feel like we've barely scratched the surface, but in a good way.
There's always more to learn. That's the fun part.
So keep exploring, keep asking questions, and yeah, keep diving deep into this stuff.
It'll change how you see the world. Guaranteed.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next time for another deep dive.